I think a lot of people think that they can just do it on their own and they can wing it, right? So you're selling them, we're going to grow your business, we're going to create money, wealth, freedom, all these things. But what they actually need is the mindset shifts to be able to allow them to create that. The thing is to understand is that AI is not going to just fix your business. You need to have good processes first for it to follow. So only the resilient survive in this game. So you need something bigger.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Bernard. You can find me on social at It's Zach B. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for to learn about their strategies and insights driving extra business growth. The Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast is sponsored by WeFuture PR, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership in business by getting them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. But today, we're joined by Ethan Kassiotis, business growth, AI, and personal brand expert who helps business owners scale their business to create wealth and freedom. And his story is actually like pretty unique. It kind of makes you like rethink what's possible. He actually dropped out of high school, was told by his teacher that he would never be successful, and then he spent nearly a decade working in the waste management industry before he decided he wanted more. From there, he went on to earn his MBA, became a certified NLP master practitioner, and has since worked with thousands of business owners across more than 30 industries in over 10 countries. He's consulted for major brands like Westfield, Kohl's, even the Department of Defense, and he's spoken on stages in front of thousands of people in Los Angeles and across Australia. He also hosts his own podcast, The Business Growth Show. So it's not his first rodeo here, where he's also been able to interview the likes of Jay Abraham, Bruce Buffer, and Jillian Michaels. Ethan, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Zach. Awesome to be on the show. Looking forward to adding a lot of value to your audience.
Me too. I would say that we've had a lot of people on the show, but I don't think we've ever had anyone from Australia. Like, we've had people from the US, I think, Mexico, like Europe, but I've never had anyone from like Australia. So I'm really excited to have more diversity on the podcast, like new countries. I think my goal will be to get people from like 100 different countries, but we'll see how long that takes me here. But as this is like a business entrepreneurship podcast, one of like the thing I always like to ask any guest that comes on the show, because you've obviously been around the block, as I mentioned with your little bio here, but I'd be curious to hear if you had to like restart your business or like your entrepreneurship journey, knowing everything that you know today, what's kind of like the one thing that you would do differently that you feel a lot of people get like totally wrong?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that they can just do it on their own and they can wing it, right? And it's like trying to figure it out and, you know, go the standard route. To me, you know, after I, you know, I did the very risky thing when I started my first business, right? I don't recommend this to people, but I quit my job and started my business the next day. No traction, no momentum, no nothing, right? So I had a few months of pay in the bank. And you understand as a business owner, cash flow just doesn't become consistent at the start of a business, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding, you know, how things work, so building up some momentum, but it's also going, well, what do I not know? Because we all have, especially at the start, we all have strengths and weaknesses. And a lot of our weaknesses, we need to turn into our strengths. And like sales is the number one skill in business that I would say, right? So making sure that you're learning how to sell straight away. And a lot of that is you want to learn from people that are actually selling. So going to like personal development events, business events, and learning from people that are actually doing it. Because whether at uni, like my MBA, I learned a lot of great stuff in there, but not all of it is necessarily practical, right? And everything like that. Some of it's good. But, you know, learning from people that are actually doing it right now, finding coaches and mentors, you know, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's at events, you know, groups, whatever, learning the key skills like sales, how to grow a business, doing that straight away and getting your ramp up is going to create less stress and less, and then you'll be in that, you know, I think the stats are like, you know, 5% of businesses last longer than like 10 years, right? It's a crazy. So how can we make sure that we're in that area? We're learning from people that have done it and been doing it for a long time as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So, and I probably wouldn't do that again. And if I was somebody else, is do the ramp up so that I'm putting myself under pressure. Yeah. But, you know, you do what you got to do sometimes to create a great story out of it.
Yeah. And I mean, you're so right. And I feel that's probably like one learning experience that I've had is that you can work with people who've been around the block. And you're able to like skip like the learning curve of like trying to do everything yourself. You can work with people who've literally done it before and then be able to implement it. I remember we had like one offering that we had. I was like, why not just hire someone like a consultant that's literally done this before? We found someone that literally his company was literally doing that. He exited the company and then I was able to skip so many like learning curves out of doing that. So like finding like a good expert that can walk through that is always very important here. And I'd love to shift back to more to like the work that you do with like business owners. Like I'd love to understand when someone like comes to you to like, hey, like I want to grow. Like what does that process kind of look like from your end to figure out what do they actually need to do? And where to start from, because there's so many different ways that you can grow a business, but not everything will be applicable to maybe your business and et cetera here.
Yeah. And obviously there's different ways that you can learn from coaches and mentors, but the real way to get to the crux of a business is to do one-on-one coaching mentoring, right? So I have a lot of clients that I do that with. And you know, really it's understanding the situation, right? So every business is different. Yes, about 80% of business is the same, let's say, right? So every industry, yeah, every business, about 80% of it is the same. It's like the 80-20 rule, as they say, with a lot of different things. So when you understand that, it's like, okay, well, I can apply these concepts to every business. Then I just need to understand the 20%. So what's the 20 that's industry specific, as well as the business owner or owners that are on that call, right? Because sometimes I work with like, you know, partners and, you know, whether they're life partners or business partners or other things, or it's one person, because with them, there's always a mindset component, right? So, you know, as part from getting my MBA, I've also done my NLP master practitioner training, and that's about reframing mindsets. And really, the business only grows to the level of the business owner. And we all have these limiting beliefs growing up from our parents or whoever that stop us from doing things. And it could be that, you know, no one can do it as good as me, which is technically true because we're all unique, right? No one's going to be like us, yeah, right? But we have to get over that to be able to hire people. So we're not doing everything ourselves. So there's all these even simple beliefs that we have. So there's a great like line in coaching, right? Is like you sell them what they want and give them what they need. So you're selling them, we're going to grow your business, we're going to create, you know, money, wealth, freedom, all these things. But what they actually need is the mindset shifts to be able to allow them to create that. Because without the mindset shifts, they're going to stay stuck. They're not going to take the action, right? So that's where, as a good coach, like, you know, myself, is understanding their language, picking up on that, reframing those beliefs as we go through that journey, especially in the first few months as more things happen, and then also instilling the skills and fixing the quick wins. So I, you know, on my website, you'll see, or I've got my business growth MBA system, right? So there's 9 keys to that. So I'll just run through them very quickly, right? So it's mindset, strategy, and planning in the design phase. So that's the foundational stuff, you know, getting our mind right. What's the right strategy? How are we planning for success? Then in the deal phase, we've got branding, marketing, and sales. How are we branding ourselves? How are we getting leads, you know, into the business, marketing multiple ways? And then how are we selling? The most important skill, right? Without sales, you've got no business, right?
Yeah.
That's the deal phase. And then in the deliver phase, you've got numbers, systems, and leadership. Really understanding your numbers, like especially cash flow. That's probably the biggest thing that business owners don't understand how to do and will kill the business the most, among other numbers. And then, you know, you got your systems, automating things, so you're not just doing everything manually. And then your leadership, because you can't do it all yourself. You need a team to help you in certain elements like that. So we delve into each of those parts. Now, some of the areas will be fine in some businesses. Some of those areas won't be, right? So I'll be doing that, but then we do the crux and then we fix the quick wins and everything, create the foundation, the platform, and then go bang, now let's grow. And I've doubled, triple businesses like in the first year when, as long as people take the action. I think that's the key last part, right? Is I could teach the same people 10 different things and I get 10 different results.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of their mindset and because of how much action they take. So if there's excuses, things like that, one of my clients that actions like just like anything is the one that's smashing it, right? So it's just really committing to the process and taking the action, and then everything can happen from there, and then your life can change, you know, forever.
Yeah. And it's so funny because it's so simple. Like a lot of people are going to be like overthinking very simple like problems. You're like, what am I supposed to do? Like there's all these different things I can do. And then in the end, in my experience, the option that's like right in front of you, like the most simple answer is like 99% the thing that you should be doing, but you're like creating like all like these mind blocks in your mind that, oh, maybe I should be doing this. And I think I had that realization, I mean, probably like a couple of years ago, where like, I remember when you early in the journey, you try everything and learn new things. Maybe you buy courses, programs. And I remember like a lot of like the programs I would see would have a mindset section in the beginning. And I never understood like really on like a deeper level why that was. Like, okay, I mean, it's like some woohoo type thing. Like that's cool, but maybe not the actual insights that I need. But now, like, looking back, I'm like, that was probably the most important part of the puzzle, because if you're able to consume any information, like, you consume all the information in the world, but if you don't have the right mindset, you're not able to act upon that information. Even if you get new information, you learn new things, you're not going to act upon it. So it falls down to, like, your mindset. And I love that you mentioned, like, mindset as the first thing, because I feel like it's so true. And a lot of people don't really, like, fundamentally understand that. And it seems that's, like, a big part in, like, your work, that you start with, like, the mindset. And it's always, like, a common, like, pattern, if I got that correctly.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I don't necessarily say that I'm helping them with the mindset. And yes, there is the skills as well, right? Because if we need to help sales skills and all these things that people want, how do I get more leads and clients? And that's probably the biggest thing that people want straight away for growth, right? But then, you know, other things can break. But yeah, and it's fun, right? Like, that's the way I like to think about it. Because with us, right, our thoughts, we have the same thoughts we had yesterday. 95% of them are the same thoughts we had yesterday. So we're replaying a story probably thousands, if not tens of thousands of times to ourselves. So we need to change that. And most of the time, most people are not aware of their own thoughts. As you become aware, you can sort of, you know, one little tip I'll give people, right? So you can do this yourself at home, is that if you ever get a negative thought in your mind, let's just say you say business is hard, something simple for now, then you go, okay, well, you got to catch that thought, go on, okay, I got business is hard. And then go, well, you got to flip it. That's the second step. Well, what's the opposite of that? What do I want to believe going forward? Business is easy. Business is fun. You know, whatever it is that is, you know, important for you, maybe it's I'm a master at business. So you've got to believe it now in the present tense. I am, or I have, are great ways to start these beliefs as well. And then when you do that, then you've got to affirm or incant it, like say it to yourself every day, many times a day, for as long as possible, could be many months, depending on how ingrained it is. And that's how you can slowly rewire your own brain. Now, are you aware enough to pick up on those? Or do you need somebody externally, like a coach and mentor, like myself or somebody else, to actually go, hey, do you know that, you know, put the mirror up and go, hey, do you know you just said this? Oh, I didn't realize. Okay, let's fix that, right? So that's where the power of having somebody externally can help us move us along quicker.
Yeah, it's like that accountability, you know, where it's like, hey, like, you just said that. Do you realize what you just said? And then, like, you just go back, you realize what you said, and then you try to, like, adjust these thought patterns, like, recognize them whenever you get them. And then, yeah, because that's, like, one thing. I was in, like, a program that talked about, like, this. It's like, yeah, you need to, like, recognize, like, whenever you have a negative thought, and directly you need to catch yourself when you say it. And that was interesting that you mentioned that, too. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like mindset falls down to, like, a basic for, like, everyone. Like, you should be working on mindset. Like, you should know it's a very important component within business, entrepreneurship, career, everything. But going more on, like, the innovation side of things, because that's, like, one I was interested to hear your perspective, since that you work with, like, thousands of business owners. AI, it's a big one. Everyone talks about it. Everyone has different perspective. I've spoken to people who say, I hate it. Some other people say, like, I love it. It's absolutely changed my business. But a lot of the entrepreneurs are talking about, like, using it, like, leveraging it within their business. And there seems to be a gap knowing what to actually implement in a way that will really move the needle. Because you can see so many different tools, automation, like, oh, this is all great. But at the end of the day, like, 80% of that, you're just going to be wasting your time. You're just going to be picking things that are not going to really be worth doing. So what does that look like when it's done right, and where there's business owners go wrong when they try it? Because I'm assuming you've probably had people you've worked with that came, like, hey, Ethan, like, I want to do this. Like, do you think I should be doing this? And then maybe you were at, like, no, like, don't do this. I'd kind of be curious to hear the stories there.
Yeah, AI is definitely the topic of the moment, and it's growing very fast. And firstly, I will say that everybody has to get into AI as soon as possible, right? So start to understand it, start to play with it as much as possible first. Most people just think about, like, ChatGPT, right? That's when it sort of became mainstream. And, you know, you've got the other large language models, LLMs as they call them, like Gemini, Claude, and Grok, right? They're probably the four main ones that people would know. Gemini is Google, Claude's Anthropic, and then Grok is, you know, from Elon Musk. So ChatGPT is OpenAI. Microsoft also bought a large chunk of that, right? So you've got the key players in the market that run that. But that's very basic. Like, they're great, and they have all the information on the internet, basically. And then one thing I will say is never have a free account, because anything you put into that becomes public knowledge. So make sure that you have a paid account, whether it's $20 a month or whatever, so that you keep the knowledge within your ecosystem of what you put in. And then it learns from you, right? So that's basic stuff.
Yeah.
Then The next level is, okay, there's a lot of tools and like simple software tools that people are doing out there. I'll give an example for podcasts, right? So I've got a podcast, as you said as well, over 300 episodes and going. Mm. And my virtual assistant, you know, used to cut the episodes, do all these things manually and all this sort of stuff. Now with AI, you can use a program like Opus Clip, and you can upload the video in there and it automatically clips it into all little clips that are a minute long for your social media, right? So this is the power of a simple actionable thing for any video you create, right? So whether it's a podcast, any video, you can do that. So all of a sudden it speeds up something so fast, right? So that's great. So it's how can we use these tools that are on the market out there right now for what we're doing just to make it faster? So that's one thing as a simple step. Then really, the next level of where it's going, people are calling it agentic, all these other things, but to keep it simple, it's automations, right? So how do we automate processes in the business? So if you're doing something constantly, whether it's you or your team, maybe it's a mundane task, maybe it's a lower level task, not a revenue generating task especially, but still has to be done, then can you automate that? A good example is one of my businesses I've got equity in is there was an invoicing process and it would take 1 to 2 days a month, right, to do the invoicing. We create an AI automation and now it takes like 10 minutes to create all the invoices and then we just need to check them, right, just quickly as a double check. So all of a sudden you've just saved this time, right? And now not only is it that bit of time there, but that is very scalable because then you could add, there's the old question, right? What if you added 100 customers or 1,000 customers? Could you handle it, right, in the business? Do you have the systems? AI allows us now to do that, right? And, you know, what I would, I think there's a couple of misconceptions, right? So some people are like, oh, I don't need my staff anymore or anything like that, you know, because, you know, I can automate the whole business. You know, I think you need a person plus AI approach to AI because you've got people in your team or you want to hire people in your team that understand the business because someone needs to run the AI and you need to improve the AI as well over time. And it's not just set and forget, right? Like you can, because your processes change as well, right? Like over time. So it's understanding that, let's just say with your current team, you can do X amount of output. Let's just say it's $1 million a year, right? If you implemented AI automation, maybe you can do $5 million. Maybe you can do $10 million with the same team members. So instead of cutting people and staying at $1 million, why not keep the people that you have because you've already trained them and they already know the business and then, you know, 10 times the business, whatever it is, right, in that area there to get to where you want to be. So that's the approach that I would, you know, tell people to do, right, in that area there. But the thing is to understand is that AI is not going to just fix your business. You need to have good processes first for it to follow. If you have a broken process, it's not just going to be like a magic pill and fix that. Yeah. So make sure you have good systems and processes, you've got things documented on what needs to happen, then the AI automation can go in and you can do that. You can connect to all different systems and you can do that. So that's the power. It's a bit like a marketing CRM, but for any program. Marketing CRM, you have steps. Do this, do this, do this. But that's within one platform. Mm-hmm. Now, it's like almost any system, accounting system, whatever you've got, can all connect to this thing. And then you can take actions as if a human was taking the action. So it's really powerful. And I think, you know, if you don't implement AI in the next 2 to 3 years, a lot of other businesses will, and you potentially will go out of business because everybody else will be able to scale more and, you know, their cost levels will be down as they do that and your margins, and you won't be able to necessarily compete. So understand, systemize your business, find people out there, whether it's myself, somebody else that understands AI, do an audit on your business and go, what are the processes that are the things that we can automate now, or what are the things that we can start to get ready to be automated and start to create these workflows, these automation platforms to then do those actions. And we do that and it's like, it's huge possibilities in the business.
Yeah. And I feel like if you haven't started using AI, like you're already falling behind like pretty heavily, and like ChatGPT has been around for what, 2-3 years, maybe something like that. Like you're definitely falling behind. But I love what you mentioned though. You mentioned that you shouldn't be thinking about cutting down people. You should be thinking more like, hey, let's keep those people that can manage the process, the AI that we have. But let's think like upwards, like we want to scale, we want to double, triple, instead of just like cutting down people. So it's having more like an expansion point of view as opposed to more like a scarcity mindset, like, oh, let's cut down things, try to maximize your margin. When it's like, no, let's triple the business using AI. And I feel like a lot of people have this misconception, and I love that. It's like a limiting belief change a little bit, that they should be optimizing for growth as opposed to the scarcity here. But yeah, I mean, there's so many like different ways you could use it, but I think that's very true. I think we've noticed that too, where if you don't have everything systemized, processed, and then you try to give an AI, it's like the same thing. If you try to like give a prompt and then you get the output and you're like, yeah, that's not what I was looking for. But you look back at your prompt and your prompt was terrible. You couldn't even understand what you were saying. So you're going to get the output that you deserve because you didn't put the correct input in. Same thing with processes. For your processes are broken, the output's going to be broken. The AI is not going to work. And not everyone understands that, so I love that. One thing I want to also touch on here is, I know we talked about mindset being pretty much like all across the board for like any business owners. That's typically one of like the main things. But I'd love to hear if there's any other like common growth blockers that you see showing up, regardless the size of the business, the industry, the person. Because I have a feeling there's probably a couple more that you've seen coaching a lot of business owners.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, right, is really understanding your business model, and especially like your pricing, as an example, is really important. Yeah. Because, you know, are you charging the right margins within your business, right? That is a really important thing. And a lot of people don't really know what it is. They're like, other people are charging this amount, so I'm going to charge this amount. Or maybe they're working themselves up to charge more. Really understanding that. And when you know, one of the great things I learned, one of my coaches and mentors, was the 30-20-10 rule. So basically, at least 30% or more of gross profit margin. So you have revenue or income at the top of a profit and loss right here statement. I'll try and keep this simple for everyone to follow. And then you have cost of goods sold. So this is expenses that are directly related, to your, to the service, to what the revenue is. And that's your gross profit margin. You need at least 30% of that. Now, depending on the business, it could be higher, right? On everything and the business model, but at least 30%. Then 20%, the 20 is 20% or less of operating expenses. So these are like your overheads or your standard wages for like admin people or, other subscriptions, all these things, right? That you have in your business, your own wages there. And then that leaves 10% or more of net profit at the end of your business, because a business is there, apart from non-for-profits, we're talking, we want to make money here, right? In a business is here to make profit in the end. So I think a lot of people don't understand the numbers well enough, going, do the fundamentals. It's like unit level economics, as it's called, right? Like, am I pricing it right? And then if I want to hit the number, let's just say it's $1 million in revenue, right? Which will then give me at least $100,000 in net profit at the end on the 10%, right? Then what do I need to hit? How many things do I need to sell? And then from that, what are the inputs behind that, right? How many calls do I need to make? How many meetings? How many events? Whatever, right? Like, how many ads or things, ad spend do I need to do if you're running ads, right? How many social media posts? Like, what are the inputs that get you to getting those clients to then getting to the number? So it's reverse engineering the process. It starts with how you price, to make sure you price it margins wise well, and you manage that. Okay. And it's also understanding all the lowest common denominator now, going, I know that if I just do this every day, then that's going to be, it's going to get me to my number. And then you track that, right? So I think a lot of business owners don't do that. They just wing it and expect to get the result and wondering why. So I think that's the biggest part.
Yeah.
And obviously we said mindset. And the other part of that that's with the numbers is cash flow. And I sort of mentioned it a little bit quickly before, but I'll highlight it a bit now, because cash flow is the number one reason why businesses go under, because cash doesn't equal profit as well, because there's things that are included in the cash flow that are not included in your profit, like taxes, whether they're local taxes or whatever, like loans, if you've got business loans, car loans, these other things like that. So there's these other things that you don't realize that are part of this. And if you're not managing that, because the problem with, If you've got an accounting platform like QuickBooks or MYOB or Xero, right? These platforms, they're great. They give you your profit and loss, your balance sheet, your cash flow, but they're all in the past. That's the problem. So it's like you're trying to create, work out what's going on from a past indicator, where The only way to do it is to forecast and go, well, where do I think the business is going? And cash flow is the number one thing we need to forecast, because you don't want to get to 1 week going, crap, I can't pay people or I can't do this because I don't have any cash in the bank account, right? But if you forecasted that, and you can do simple processes on this, right? Of just going, when do I expect the money to come in? You know, when do I when do I need to pay things out over weeks? And then eventually you might see a dip in a month, let's say, right? And it's going to go under zero or close to it. And you're going, crap, okay. But at least you know about it. It's coming. So now you can start to be proactive of going, what can I do to increase revenue, decrease costs, maybe delay some payments, things like, you can have conversations now, right, to make that happen, or whatever you need to do in the business to maybe ramp up your efforts to make sure that that doesn't happen. So I think people need to understand this. These are like fundamentals of business, because if you run the business by the numbers, then you know you could create whatever business that you want. And creating those simple systems there, and then having, like you said, the mindset as well to, you know, believe that you can do it, that it's easy, and that you're going to take the action on that to get the results you want. So I think, you know, apart from all the other things like sales and stuff that I mentioned, I think they're really the fundamentals on creating the business that you want. And then, you know, the final point is that I see business being the vehicle for your life. So like what type of life do you want? Freedom? Do you want to enjoy? How much are you paying yourself? Like, what's the life there? So like understanding your numbers, like what is important to you to do? And it could be like, I want to go on holidays. I want to go do all these other things. So how much do you need to make in the business to do that? How much do you need to pay yourself? Do you want to invest in things to create wealth? Cause then business is a vehicle to create wealth later, to create cash flow. Generally, you know, to create other assets that build up over time. So, you know, that's the game here, because in the end, we don't want to like work, you know, 80 hours a week. If you have to do that at the start of your business, hopefully not, you know, for the rest of your life, right? You want to work maybe a little bit harder at the start of your business for the first few years, and then work smarter, work less. You've got all these things in place, and then you're really enjoying life at the same time.
Yeah, because that was like one thing I was going to like ask you, because you talk about the idea of like building more of a, not a business, but building like a kingdom. And I thought that was like an interesting approach, because a lot of people think like, okay, I have this business, I'm going to focus strictly on building this, I'm going to grow it as much as I can. But they're not, because I work with people that are in like the exit planning side of things, mergers, acquisition, exit, all that stuff. And a lot of people don't even think about like, okay, like what do I want out of this? Like your business essentially is like a vehicle, and if you use it correctly, you can obviously provide for the life that you want. But yeah, like this different perspective where like the idea of a single business isn't enough to really create like the wealth, the freedom that you actually want, which is pretty different from like what a lot of other business coaches are going to put out there. And I'm kind of like curious, when it comes to working with clients or anything like that, is it more so like figuring out what they want, what the lifestyle they want to maintain? Like I'm assuming there is a more like strategic process, and then based on like what you want as an outcome, then you can somewhat reverse engineer what you have to do to be able to get there. But I could be wrong here too.
Yeah. And you know, it depends on the person here, right? Like as well, but let's say at the start, we want to fix the business. Like if you've got a broken business, don't just keep starting too many businesses, because it's probably going to be all broken right at the same time. So make sure that we've got a decent level of business, but you know, you got to protect yourself from risk as well. Like, you know, I think COVID showed a lot of things, right? Where a lot of industries were disrupted. So understanding that things can happen in the future. You've got, you know, as we're recording this, there's challenges happening in Iran, right? And a lot of businesses around the world are affected with that, right? So understanding that things are going to pop up like this in the world. You don't know what it is, but it's coming. There's always is. You look at history, right? So diversifying assets generally is very important from a wealth strategy. And business is a vehicle of assets, right? It is an asset there that creates money, right? Just like property is or whatever. So number one, you can diversify assets like that. But if you're talking business-wise, because then business can then help you to invest in properties or gold or whatever you want to invest in later, of course, which is important. But then going, what is something that potentially is, you know, integrated within the current business? So you could talk about like vertical or the in integrations, like in the supply chain, or maybe it's horizontal, maybe it's similar types of businesses that are all linked together but are in different industries, right? So then you can do that. Because I think you create like more of an ecosystem or the kingdom, as I mentioned there. Mm. So then you know, if something happens in a particular place, like maybe it's a regulation that changes and you're going, crap, you know, like this has affected this business. Oh, it's okay. I've got this other business that's keeps going on, right? That's creating income and everything like that. So I think, you know, it takes a certain level of entrepreneur to have multiple businesses because it is tough to do that. And you probably need some help. But, you know, make sure that, you know, your business is at a certain level that you can do that. And it's also about obviously hiring a team, getting people around you because it's hard to do it all yourself. So get people that can help you to manage these businesses, let go of trying to create and control the whole process. And then once you do that, then it becomes the freedom game. And then it's going, well, what do I want to do in my life? I only want to work X amount of hours a day. I want to spend time with my children or my partner, right? Mm-hmm. I want to, I want to travel. I want to, you know, make a difference in people's lives. I want to contribute and, you know, to charities or I want to build wealth. I want to build in all these asset classes so that I can do what I want. I want to pass it on to my children, generational wealth and legacy. Like there's all these things that might be relevant to a person and understanding what that is because that's the bigger driver really because business goes up and down, as you would know, right? Like it's not just an up thing. Like you get, there's going to be a lot more failures and challenges than there are successes. So only the resilient survive in this game. So you need something bigger as your why like that to go, I'm doing this for a reason. Because I think that's the reason why most businesses fail is they just quit. I think it's too hard.
Yeah.
They don't have the mindset. They don't have the resolve, the resilience to keep going. And I'll just tell you that if you keep going, in the end, you'll get back on top. Even it's just going to keep going and you'll get there in the end and you'll succeed in the end. So I think that's the key points. So always look at opportunities of how and whether that's starting businesses, you could even be buying businesses like we talked about, like M&A there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's always a great strategy, especially because a lot of people that are retirement age are wanting to sell businesses. Yeah. So, you know, there's a whole nother thing, you know, deep depthness that we can talk about that, but we don't really have time today. But it's like understanding opportunity in markets and going, how can I create value in the market and how can I spread that value and then how can I reinvest it? Don't just keep all the money in the business because if something happens, you're screwed. So pull money out, invest it into other things that grow as well and also have those businesses. And once you do that, you're almost going to be impregnable, you know, like this kingdom that you create in the future. Yeah.
No, I love that you framed it as like a kingdom. Like you're building your little empire and you're making sure that you have like all the walls and everything in place, like defend yourself and obviously give you the life that you want, which I thought was an interesting analogy here. But no, I really appreciate you coming on the show. And for anyone that wants to get in touch with you, wants to reach out, I know you're active in quite a few places, but where should people look you for?
Yeah, definitely. I'm on all the main social media platforms at Ethan Cassiotis. There's only one of me, so easy to find. And my website, which is ethancassiotis.com. You can get my free ebook, The 9 Keys to Business Growth Mastery, where I go through all of my 9 keys there that I mentioned on this podcast today in more detail and just gold, right? Very short ebook there of actionable things. So highly recommend you get that so you get the foundations right in your business. Feel free to reach out. Always happy to have a chat. Listen to my podcast, all of that. Yours will be coming out we recorded as well on there very soon. And I just, you know, go out there, guys. Just make the most of it. I'll just say in your business, like take the action, take some risk, believe that you can do it. Get the right people around you that are going to help you to get there and give yourself the best chance of success. And then, you know, enjoy the life that you really want to, you know, live in this world.
I love it. I feel like we've covered like all the bases around like business mindset and everything. So I know this was value packed. So I really appreciate you coming on the show here. So to your listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, like, leave a review, follow, all that fun stuff. You can also find more insights at wefuture.com, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership by getting them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. Until then, keep pushing and we'll see you in the next one.